For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 95. Psalm 95 in the Old Testament, about in the middle of the Bible, Israel's hymn book, if you will, Psalm 95 and Psalm 96, wonderful songs and psalms that the Lord's given us. Psalm 95, if you're there, say amen, amen. Psalm 95 and verse 1, the psalmist says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Underline that. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He's a great God, capital G, and a great King above all little g gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they that have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. I want you to notice in verses 7 and 8, Psalm 95, it says that we are the sheep of His hand. And the psalmist gave this great admonition, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Our Father, I pray that you'd add your blessing and anointing upon the message today. Thank you for the wonderful songs, and thank you for this wonderful group of people. Help us, I pray, to guard our heart, keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak this morning from that verse in verse 8, where he says, Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. I think all of us in this day in which we live, and I think probably in every generation, people have struggled with the matter of a hard heart. I think as we go through the Scriptures, you'll see over and over again that God told Israel to guard their heart and keep it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Over and over again, we see that God accused Israel of having a hard heart. Even after Jesus fed the 5,000 plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he admonished them and really rebuked the disciples who he said had forgotten the lesson of the loaves. They'd forgotten the lesson of the loaves. And I think many times in America, oh my, and I'm guilty of this, I forget the lesson of the loaves. I forget the lesson of His love. I forget the lessons of how He opens His hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Every living thing. And I have to guard against a hard heart. Just because we're saved, last hour, in Sunday school, we talked about how that we have a union with Christ, which is a finished work. But we have a communion with Christ, which is an unfinished work. Just because we have a union with Him doesn't mean that we don't walk with Him anymore. And then also last hour, I talked about not only the union and the communion, but I talked about how that His finished work is finished on earth, but it's unfinished in heaven. How He continues as our advocate, our go-between in heaven. And we need that. We need Him. Because the accuser of the brethren comes at us all of the time. And He is praying for us in heaven. I appreciate that. As the accuser of the brethren comes against me, I'm glad that Jesus, my advocate, I'm glad that Jesus is my mediator, and He is my Savior. And of course, when the psalmist wrote these words, the Savior had not come yet. They read of the Savior in Psalm 22 as the good shepherd, and he wrote of this in Psalm 23 as the great shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Then in Psalm 24 he talked about the chief shepherd that would come again for the sheep. And so there are many places in the Old Testament where we see the shepherd, the under shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come to die for the sins of mankind. But he rebuked them for their hardness of heart. You know, there are a lot of things that can cause a hard heart. A lot of things. But I want today to speak about this matter of how to prevent a hard heart. By way of introduction, Psalm 95, I think he gives us the way that we can guard against a hard heart. First of all, I think if we'll realize that He is our King, it will help us to keep a tender heart to the things of God. He said in verses 3 and 4 and 5 of Psalm 95, He said, "The Lord's a great God. He is the great King above all gods." He is our King. He's the King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's the man of sorrows, Christ Jesus the Lord. There's none other but Him that belongs on the throne of our life and the throne of heaven and the throne of the universe, the King of glory. And the psalmist asked this question, who is this King of glory? Christ is His name. And when He came and offered Himself to people in Jerusalem a week before His crucifixion, as He came in His triumphal entry, they said, "Hosanna, crown Him King today." And they on that Palm Sunday, they cried, "Hosanna." And then within a week, they were crying, "Crucify Him." But He is King. He is our King. And the Bible says in Psalm 97, verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigneth." He's King. In Psalm 99, 1, it says, "The Lord reigneth." He is King. And so He's our King. And then, not only that, but He's our Creator. In Psalm 95, verse 6, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." He is our Creator. Man didn't come from a monkey. We may act like monkeys sometimes, but we didn't come from monkeys. And He is not only our King and our Creator, but then we see the conditions that we are going to find ourselves in. And one of the hardest things that you and I can battle, that we can fight, is found, He says in verses 7 and 8, "Today if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart." Now what are the conditions? How can we prevent a hard heart? If anybody ought to be praising God, it ought to be some Americans, you know. I mean, my soul. I mean, most of us have enough food to feed an army. Most of us have clothes that we've never seen since the day we bought them. Most of us have shoes. We're blessed of the Lord, aren't we? I mean, we have cars, we have trucks, we have. If we don't have it, it's because we didn't bother to buy it or trade for it or some way. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. But how can we prevent hardness of heart? You would think that the Israelites, I mean, look, if I saw the Red Sea part and walked over on dry ground and all of Pharaoh's army destroyed in one day, that'd do me for a while. But that wasn't true with the Israelites. If I was in Joshua's day and saw the sun stand still and us defeat the enemy, that'd be pretty good, you know. If I was Elijah and saw the fire come down from heaven upon Mount Carmel and destroy all my enemies, I probably wouldn't be under a juniper tree anytime soon. But he was. These were men of like passions as we are. And so Jesus was a man of like passions as we are, yet without sin. He was without sin. Now, if these had trouble, if Jeremiah said one day, "I think I'll just quit. I'm tired of these people. I've never had a word of encouragement. Never anyone ever said anything good to me. And all that God gives me to preach are doom and gloom. I don't enjoy this. I'm quitting." He buried his mantle. But he said, "I couldn't because there was a fire in my bones." God puts a fire down deep in there. And he'll stir that fire if we'll let him. But how can we prevent a hard heart? Let me give you three ways you can prevent a hard heart. First of all, I want you to notice in Psalm 96 and verses 1 and 2, I think we can prevent a hard heart by our worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said in verse 1 of Psalm 96, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name." It says, don't lose. I think he's talking about a singular worship. I think he's talking about a Savior that we do worship. And I think he's talking about not only personal worship, but a public worship. Today we're worshiping publicly. As we leave here, I think we ought to have some personal worship also. There ought to be times that we worship Him in the night watches. David did that. There are times that we ought to worship Him when our hearts are heavy. There are times that we worship Him when things are going well, and times that we worship Him when things aren't going well. How is your worship of God? The word worship simply means to pay homage to Him. It means to bow down. It means to bend over before Him. He's worthy for us to bend the knee before Him. In fact, it's the unbent knee that's preventing revival in our nation and our churches today. He says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." Sing unto the Lord. Notice, he says, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, when your fathers proved me, when your fathers saw my work." By the way, he took care of them even when they were murmuring and complaining. The manna was still there. That manna was a great picture of Jesus Christ in that manna. I preached about that manna on Wednesday night, and Jesus said, "I am that bread of life." He said it over and over and over and over again in the Gospel of John. He said, "I am that bread of life," John 6. "I am that manna that your fathers ate in the wilderness. I am that manna that meets the need of everyone." Everything in that manna, everything you need, vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D, you name it, iron, all of those things, it's all found in the manna. It's all in the manna. Everything that we need for heaven, everything that we need for happiness is found in the sweet bread of heaven that came from the house of bread, that came from the bread of heaven, that bread from heaven came to the house of bread, which is Bethlehem. That manna met the need of everyone. That manna was within the reach of all. God didn't put it in the treetops. He put it out there for them to gather, and it was just what they needed today. Christ is all I need. All I need. He's all I need. I'll settle for nothing less. I want nothing more. It's time that we, unlike the Israelites, it's time that we be satisfied with Jesus. He's enough. He's all we need. And you'll never find pure and undiluted joy and worship without Jesus. And so we ought to bow down before Him. Don't lose your joy. David, when David finally got thoroughly right with God in Psalm 51, what did David do? David said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation." Dear God, restore unto me the... He says, "Then will I teach transgressors Thy way, and then will sinners be converted unto Thee." He said, "Lord, I've sinned." Sin sours that spirit. Sin soils the soul. Sin saddens the heart. We'll lose our joy if we harden our heart. If we get like those Israelites, they tempted Him, but yet He took care of them. God's not obligated to do that, is He? 40 years God put up with them, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. He said, they, but then He says, you. You can have joy. You can learn from that. You can learn from their mistakes. You can learn from their sin. By the way, sin's more than a mistake. Sin is sin. It sent Jesus to the cross. Sin is whatever we say, do, or think that crosses God's line. Don't lose your joy. He says, sing unto the Lord. I think singing is more than just singing, although it involves that. But singing is an attitude. It's an attitude of rejoicing. Paul said over 16 times in the book of Philippians, from a jail cell, he said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Learn to rejoice. Learn to rejoice. By the way, sometimes we rejoice when we're sad. We rejoice while we cry. Because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I talked to Victor Boyce last evening as he called to tell me that Dale had gone to heaven. His heart was broken, of course, but he was happy that his dad was with his mother Anna in heaven. And they'd seen the face of the Savior. God's people, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. Sing unto the Lord. By the way, I think part of that, a great part of that, is singing. Sing. Sing. He didn't say, stay on note. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. But not only can we worship the Lord, not only can we worship the Lord by singing, but also our walk with the Lord by showing. Look in verse 2 of Psalm 96. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Our walk with the Lord will keep us from having a hard heart. Our walk with the Lord. It's hard to walk with the Lord. It's hard to have a hard heart when you're walking with the Lord. God, thank you for saving me. I think about that. I read a quote this week by Stonewall Jackson. I don't get to quote Stonewall very often, an old West Virginia boy. General Stonewall Jackson, who knew the Lord. Stonewall Jackson said, they said, how can you, and they called him, they said, yonder sits Jackson like a stone wall. They said, how can you go into battle and sit in the saddle like that and be so calm? He said, because I'm in the will of God. If God wants to take me to heaven from the saddle, He'll do that. If God want, and God did take him to heaven. But when asked one day how he fulfilled the biblical command to pray without ceasing, Stonewall Jackson said this, I can give you my idea of it by illustration, if you will, allow it, and not think that I'm setting myself up as a model for others. He said, I have so fixed the habit in my own mind that I never raise a glass of water to my lips without lifting my heart to God in thanks and prayer for the water of life. Then, when we take our meals, there's the grace. Whenever I drop a letter at the post office, I send a petition or a prayer along with it for God's blessing upon its mission and for the person to whom it's sent. When I break the seal of a letter just received, I stop and ask God to prepare me for its contents and make it a messenger of good. When I go to my classroom and await the arrangement of my cadets and their places, that is my time to intercede and pray with God for them. And so in every act of the day, he said, I've made the practice a habit. When he was then asked if he ever forgot to do this, he responded, I can hardly say that I do. The habit has become almost fixed as breathing is. You know, I think it's a matter of our walk with God. It's a matter of us deciding, I'm going to sing unto the Lord. I'm going to have a joyful heart. But he says, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so our walk with God, we show forth His salvation from day to day. From day to day, we reflect the attributes of God. We ought to do that. I don't always do that. Now I know you're nearly perfect, but I'm not. Only grandchildren are nearly perfect, and I say nearly. We all fail, don't we? But just because you fail doesn't make you a failure. Failure plus failure plus failure equals success. Because we don't quit. We keep walking. We keep showing. We keep singing. We keep confessing. The psalmist here shows the characteristics of a heart that's been given to God that should be seen in all of us. He says this, show forth his salvation from day to day. Show it. Now, not just letting your light shine. That's important. But letting our tongue tell. How can we do that? Well, he mentions four ways here. He gives us his attributes and he says, you know, you can show these to other people. How about this? Look in verse 6. Honor and majesty. What are some characteristics that ought to be in all of us? Honor and majesty. Honor and majesty. There ought to be an honorable heart in every believer. There ought to be something majestic about us. You say, well, I don't know about that. But I'm talking about a touch from heaven. That unction that John described from the Holy One. Honor and majesty are before him. Then he says this, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Strength and beauty. David had that. Not only strength and beauty and honor and majesty, but he says in verse 7, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of thy people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. We ought to show forth glory. We ought to show forth strength. We ought to show forth honor. We ought to show forth beauty. Beauty is more than the outward. Beauty is much more the inward. Glory and strength. He says in verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. The glory due his name. Then he mentions down in verse 13, he says with righteousness and with truth. There's a righteousness that comes that when we accept Christ as our Savior, there's that imputed righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. But then there's a practical righteousness, talks about right living. So there ought to be some right living among God's people. Do right. Do right. Be right. Do right. Think right. If we'll think right, we'll do right. He says, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Our worship and then our walk. If we'll walk with God. Notice he says in verse 5, but the Lord made the heavens. All the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. He's to be feared above all gods. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Where did we get off track in America? Well, I believe that we got off track when we forgot the Lord of heaven. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. He's talking about how you lose a civilization. How do you lose a nation? Because that which may be known of God, Romans 1:19, is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. All of us are accountable to God. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And it says, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Many in America have been kneeling at the altar of someone other than God. And it says, because that when they knew God, verse 21, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. What's happened in America? We've taken God off the throne and replaced him with man. We said we think we can do a better job than God has. And we've made a mess of it. Our nation's in a mess. And he said, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And they worshiped the creature more than the Creator, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And there are those today that are kneeling at the altar of climate change. We've got to save this earth. Jesus didn't come to save the earth. Jesus came to save lost, hell-bound sinners like you and me. And he said one day in 1st and 2nd Peter, he said, this earth will be burned up. It'll all be dissolved. It will all be passed over. It'll all be burned up one day in the tribulation period. But I'm going to make a new heaven. I'm going to make a new earth. And I'm going to place you on it one day. We can't save this earth. We're to be good stewards of this earth. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to weep while a tree's cut down. You know? I mean, if you want to plant some trees, I plant trees probably every year. They don't always grow. You know, I don't rejoice when a whale washes up on a beach and dies, but if a whale washes up on a beach and dies, I say fillet it and feed the hungry. Have a fish fry. Say amen right there. I don't hug trees. I love trees, but I've cut 12 trees, at least 12 trees down around my house since I moved in. And I'm not weeping about that. Man, but I still have a lot of leaves if you want to come help. We've worshiped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, God said. It says, because of this, in verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. When you take Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 away from a group of people, then you pretty much doomed them. They're going the wrong direction. It says, "Who God gave them up to uncleanness. They changed the truth of God into a lie." And it's a lie. Evolution is a lie. I mean, the second law of thermodynamics, it tells you, you know, that order doesn't come from disorder. Didn't come from a big bang. It came from a big God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it says, and served and worshiped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up. There's three statements here that chill my spine as I read them. Verse 24, Romans 1. God gave them over. God gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. I think of Stephen, as he preached and they came to stone him, it says, they gnashed on him with their teeth. They stopped their ears and they said, we don't want to hear this anymore. That's exactly where we are in America today. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up to vile affections. And it's a slippery slope. And they went from vile affections to a reprobate mind who cannot make right decisions. They've hardened their heart. Don't follow that. Don't follow that, friend. Listen, it's time to double down on the Bible. It's time to double down on the truth. God created the earth and all that's in it in 6 days. Christ is the way to heaven. There's a right way to live and a wrong way to live. God established the home. God established the family. One man and one woman. And we can give you a definition of that, even though a Supreme Court justice can't seem to do that. We know the difference. God knows the difference. God gave us the difference. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Only there can happiness be found. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and he gives the description, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. How did we get to a reprobate mind? Because the old sin didn't thrill people anymore. They had to invent more evil things. That's how reprobate defamed and deceited and that's how sinful we are. disobedient to parents, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, disobedient to parents, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, liars, without natural affection, homosexuals and lesbians and transgender. Let me tell you something. You might be confused about your sexual identity, but I want you to know God wasn't when He created you. God wasn't confused. Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, bus workers, Awana leaders, youth workers, youth pastor, moms and dads, we need to double down on the truth and teach our children. Listen, you young ladies, and we deal with this every week on our bus routes. Girls that say, I'm not pretty. Mom says I'm not pretty and I'd been better off to be a boy. Oh no! You're telling God that He made a mistake. You young men, relish your masculinity. Be a man. Grow up to be a man. And you mothers, let these boys be boys. Let them be boys. Let them go climb a tree. Let them go shoot something. Let them go catch something. Let them skin their knee. And you girls, relish and develop your femininity. Glory in that. God made you that way. God did not make a mistake. He says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Depraved is the word I was trying to find a while ago. Depraved. Man is so depraved. And it comes from a hardened heart. It comes from a rebellious heart who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. They have pleasure in them that do them. So that's why I can't support what I've supported before. It's hard to support Disney now. I can't support that because they're supporting the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Some parents are going to have to make some decisions. Those are hard decisions. They're easy when they're 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old. When they start growing up, it's a little harder. Speak the truth in love. Show forth His praises. Worship the Lord in your home and in church. Reinforce the truths of Scripture through prayer, through teaching, through preaching. Names are given us. We're hate mongers. We're homophobes. We're all of these things. That's just not true, friend. It's not true. Honor and majesty, glory and strength. Strength and beauty. Righteousness and truth. It says this in Psalm 96 and verse 7. Give, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. His name is Jehovah. His name is Jesus. There is no other name. How to keep a tender heart? Oh, sing unto the Lord through your worship. Show forth His salvation through your walk. And in verse 3, Psalm 96, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Declare His glory through your witness. Through your witness. We've got to keep telling that story. It's a great story. It's a wonderful story. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. Tell the story. Tell the story. I met a truck driver from Detroit out at McDonald's the other day. And Arabic, I think he was from the Middle East somewhere. I gave him one of these gospel film tracks. I said, hey, do you have a phone that you can scan this? And I said, a friend of mine made this film. It's 14 minutes long. And I said, I think you'll enjoy it. It's really good. He said, I will support that. I don't know what that meant. I think it meant I watched that. He said, I will support that. I will support that. I said, great. Let's get some Baptists that excited about it, you know. I will support that. People need the Lord. Go out there and hang around McDonald's. Hey, you'll meet a lot of people there. And they ain't from around here. I know that's hard for you West Virginians. You know, they ain't from around here. But people from that ain't from around here need the Lord. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. The Lord is great. He's greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. Oh, worship the Lord, verse 9. Let the heavens rejoice, verse 11. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar. He said, look, if you don't do it, the rocks will cry out. The trees will do it. The sea will roar. What a personification of the Lord in nature. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, verse 13. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. The truth is, we don't deserve His grace, but we've been given His grace to share with others. If you'll sing unto Him, worship Him. If you'll show forth His praises in your walk, and if you'll declare His glory in your witness, your heart's not going to get hard. Your heart's going to get bigger. I'll tell you a good prayer that I've prayed many times. Lord, increase my capacity to love. Because it's not in me to love. Increase, Lord, help me to love more. Help me to love more. Help me to have Your heart. Give God the glory due His name. Simple message. Simple message. But He said this, today if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Your heart.